The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Martial arts. UFC Vegas 64 preview show starts now.
Yes, the road to Madison Square Garden, to New York, to UFC 281. We got one more stop to make, and we're not really going anywhere. We're just back at the UFC Apex. UFC Vegas 64 goes down tomorrow. And we got a main event in the strawweight division with some stakes. Marina Rodriguez will possibly look to lock down a title shot at 115 pounds. And standing in her way is Amanda Lemos. Welcome, everybody, to the UFC Vegas 64 preview show. I am Mike Eck. Shot Al Shadi is back on the preview show tour joining us. Hello, sir.
What's up, my man? It's good to be here.
Nice to have you.
Very exciting. It's all very exciting, Clark.
And listen, we joke about birthdays and say it's AK's birthday. We wish happy birthday to AK on every show we do. But today is his actual birthday, everybody. So let us welcome in the birthday boy himself, AK, Mr. Alexander Kane Lee. Happy birthday, AK.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everyone who has sent me birthday messages today.
Yes,
on my actual birthday. Let me take this opportunity to say, I hate the birthday song so much. I'm a bit of a birthday grump, but this is just an objective thing. The birthday song... It's a bad song. It's objectively, I do not enjoy
this. That's an incredible hot take.
Is it a hot take? Does anyone actually like the birthday song? We all know that. We all know it. We all sing it. It's a bad song. So I have proposed a long time ago that one, ideally, people should pick whatever birthday song they want, and they don't even have to stick to it. Like, you could change it every year. Like, instead of singing Happy Birthday, it's just like, play this song, please. Everyone just chill for a second. We're going to play the first. Yeah, thank you. 90 seconds, 2 minutes of a song. Not this one. And then we could all enjoy our birthday so much more. Personally, for me this year, the song I ask people to sing or play for me is... okay.
Oh, my God. All right.
Okay, come on. This is important. I'm trying to save America. I'm trying to save birthdays here. The song that I have chosen this year is Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy, a classic 80s song. All and right. then you put the person's name in there. So you guys could go like, Alex likes to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. And this works for every people. You can have this. I think this should replace the birthday song. I think it's a better song. I think we all enjoy it again, but you should be able to pick whatever song you want. That is how people celebrate their birthdays and not listen to this tyrannical birthday theme that has plagued us for decades. I don't know, a century. I don't know how old the song is, but please, no more happy birthday song. But thank you everyone again for the well wishes. I'm very much appreciated. Yes, today is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday. I don't know how we can top that birthday speech right there, but I don't know, AK, it must be your birthday because drama on the scales. So that's something we could talk about. So we have, and correct me if I'm wrong, AK, right now, technically we have 5 weight misses, but potentially we could be dropped down to 4. Is that where we're at? You want to give us an update because you've been all over this.
This is correct.
Your birthday and you got the weigh-in job, which you wanted. That's the only thing you wanted for your birthday.
It's not a job. It's not a job for me. You are correct, sir. We had Mr. Grant Dawson was the first to miss weight, coming in 1.5 pounds over, coming in on short notice to fight Mark O'Madsen. And then along the way, we also had Benito Lopez fighting for the first time in over 3 years. He missed weight. He came in 2.5 pounds over. Carlos Candelario, flyweight, coming in 2.5 pounds over. Ramona Pascual coming in near the end, 1 pound over. And then Ashana Young, 1 pound over, but she did take the extra hour and it actually is currently, I believe, according to updates from Amy Kaplan and John Morgan, who are on site, I believe she is futzing around trying to cut a quarter pound. She weighed in a second time, 0.25 over. I think she still gets to use the full hour, extra hour. But as we speak, it's probably down to like 5-4 minutes right now. I don't know how you cut a quarter of a pound with like 10 minutes left, but we will see. We will see where it goes. But yes, as of now, if Shana Young does not make it, then we will have 5 fighters miss weight, which I think, according to SureDog's Jay Petry, would be a UFC event record.
Wow. Well, there you go. And what's interesting about all of this is that it's the Brazilian fighters who were having travel issues, right? They all made it. Mm-hmm. None of them were part of this list. So kudos to them. Well done. And 2 of them are in the main event, Marina Rodriguez and Amanda Lemos. Sean, this is an interesting fight, 115 pounds. This was not the original main event. The original main event was Mavzarov Loya versus Bryce Mitchell. And let's be honest, had that main event stuck around, this card looks way different than it does right now. But not bad. I still think this card is better than last week's. We do have some stakes here at 115 pounds. A lot of people feel like Marina Rodriguez has already earned her way to a title shot. Now she's getting Amanda Lemos. We got a title shot, title fight coming up a week later at UFC 281 between Carla Esparza and Zhang Weili. Your thoughts on the matchup and the stakes involved here, more notably for Marina Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know. First of all, I don't know why it looks like I'm talking to you from 1998. Like, I don't know why my internet's so bad. Come on, Cox, get it together. This is ridiculous. We pay too much money for internet for this to be this bad. Also, I have to say, for AK to get such a spectacular weigh-in on his birthday just feels like the greatest birthday gift of all. Like, this is the most fitting way that this could go. I'm so happy for you personally, AK. I'm happy for you to be able to experience something like the magic of this morning. I know how weigh-ins are so important to you.
Thank you, Shane. By the way, Shana Young has officially made weight, 126, according to the UFC. So there you go.
There we go.
All right. So 4.
And by the way, so 4 missed. Benito Lopez, Candelario, Pascual, all forfeiting 20% of their purse. Those fights are official. There will be catch weights. Grant Dawson, oddly, we're still waiting to hear if his fight will proceed. So we'll try to keep you updated on that as well.
Okay.
There we go. Look at that. Right. Yeah, no, I mean, this is a card. This is certainly a card. It's such a bummer that we're not getting what it was supposed to be in its original form, right? Because I think all of us are so damn high on Mavzarov Loya, and just generally that fight between him and Bryce Mitchell just looked to be a grappler's dream. Like, that was, I'm incredibly bummed that we're not getting that, because that had stakes, that it had a lot of questions being answered. This is an okay. It's a makeshift main event. It is what it is. it is sort of a moment for Marina Rodriguez, it feels like, though, right? Because you said it, Mike, she had a case, a very good case, to be that next title challenger, and she got skipped over essentially because, in so many words, it's hard to get people to care about Marina Rodriguez right now, right? Like, the, in what she's been able to put together. She just hasn't jumped off the screen. She hasn't jumped off the page in the way that we know the UFC likes. And this feels like a moment for her to sort of be able to maybe get that opportunity. But Amanda Lemos has been sort of the low-key on-fire contender in this division. Like, she's been crushing it outside of that one fight against Jessica Andrade, which, you know, anybody is going to get trucked by Jessica Andrade in this division for the most part, unless you're one of the very best in the world. Outside of that, she's looked really, really damn good. And she's getting a lot of different finishes. I mean, the submission of Michelle Waterson, like she is coming out here to perform every time out. So ultimately, like, this feels like the right type of opponent to be able to push Marina Rodriguez and maybe force the type of fight out of her that the UFC haven't seen from her yet. The type that would really be that statement win, that would be that performance that fans would point to of, hey, this, I got to see this person fight for the title next.
AK, what are your thoughts on this? Because I feel like Amanda Lemos, the best that could happen to her is that she just destroys a title contender. She probably will still have some work to do, one or two more wins. This would obviously be a great win for her. But for Marina Rodriguez, for her to win this fight, two things I think need to happen for her to get a title shot. One, she needs to win convincingly. This cannot be a 48-47. This cannot be a trip to Splitty City. She needs to win 49-46, 50-45. Possibly get a finish. And two, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I'll get your take on it. She needs to be the biggest Carla Esparza fan on the face of the planet, because I think her best shot of getting a title fight is Carla going out and upsetting Zhang Weili next week. And if Zhang beats Carla Esparza, I don't think she's getting the title fight, because Rose Namajunas already has two wins over her. I'm sure Zhang will call out for that fight, and the UFC would seem much higher on that fight. But you're the matchmaking extraordinaire. What do you think? What's at stake for both of these women?
No, I mean, you're totally right. The Carla scenario is a lot more tenable. I mean, they have fought before. It was a split decision. If you go to MMA decisions, I believe a fair amount of the people scoring in the media had it for Marina Rodriguez. So there's at least a little bit of a storyline there, not just getting revenge, but of course, finally getting her long-awaited title shot. So yeah, very unlikely with Zhang, if Zhang wins at 281. I mean, with Rose Namajunas, I mean, there is a chance maybe she won't be available. She's pretty like tactical with how she takes her fights, but I imagine she is just, you know, her documentary just came out. She probably is waiting for that another shot at Zhang after beating her twice already. So yeah, there's just no easy path for Marina Rodriguez. There hasn't been this whole time that she's been on sort of this win streak, this really good run she's had in the UFC. I'm honestly, I struggle, and I am in the media, so we do watch a lot of fights, and you know, we're not as good at recalling individual moments as some fans might be. So I almost want to implore people in the comments, anyone watching live right now, what is like the most memorable moment of Marina Rodriguez's career so far? She has the finish of Amanda Ribas, and several convincing quality wins. But off the top of my head, I really like, I'm trying to think of, you know, make a Marina Rodriguez hype reel in my mind. I'm trying to hear like John Anik's voice talking over it, and it just doesn't get me going. There just isn't this thing that jumps out at me. There's not even like a little bit of controversy or a memorable promo, you know, if not something in cage. She's just clearly, we all know she's a great fighter. We all know she has a strong resume, has done more than enough to earn a title shot. But I almost feel like, even for all of us who know this, if she didn't get it, like, none of us are going to be like, oh, damn it. Damn, Marina Rodriguez isn't fighting for the title at, you know, UFC 285 or 286, 287. We're kind of okay with her waiting, as again, a bigger name like Rose maybe leaps ahead of her. And that's not fair, but that's kind of how the fight game works. But yeah, I do wonder if I'm crazy and I'm just forgetting something about Marina that maybe she did that, you know, makes her so appealing.
No, I mean, she basically kind of has the same, I would say more or less like the same problem that Bilal Muhammad had before this past fight, right? Where it's just, you're winning and you're beating convincingly, like you're beating good opposition convincingly, but ultimately like it's leaving people cold, and it's not leaving people wanting you to see you in big spots and get bigger opportunities, especially in this strawweight division, which for a while now, I mean, we've cycled through this really like the past, what, like half decade of the same exact people sort of cycling in and out of this title equation. Like it was a big five, now it's a big four with Joanna gone. But for the most part, it's Carla, it's Rose, it's Whaley, and it's Jessica, right? Like this has been the title picture pretty much since this division kicked up. And it's so impossible for these different women to break through into that top four slash top five when Joanna was here as well. Because it's just, it's just ingrained in us now of like, hey, if there's a title fight at strawweight, two of these women are going to be involved in some capacity. And so you're right. It's just, it's for Marina, it seems like it's just been impossible for her to break through into that conversation. Maybe this is the one that can do it. But it does feel like she needs some sort of statement when, a la what Bilal did to Sean Brady, where now all of a sudden we're talking about Bilal against Colby or a Bilal against Hamzat or something like that, right? Like she needs that moment that she just hasn't had. Because if you throw out your question, AK, of like what's your most memorable moment, I guess it would be the Reba's finish, right? Of her actually going out there and putting a stamp on a fight against Amanda Ribas rather than, you know, a lot of these close decisions, split decisions, unanimous decisions where it's very technical and it's impressive, but no one's talking about it 2 days later.
I actually think, I mean, I'll play devil's advocate. I think the Mackenzie Dern win was probably her best because not a lot of people gave her a chance to win. They felt Mackenzie took her down. The first takedown, it's over. She survived some really tough spots, ended up dominating that fight outside of a couple of takedowns and getting hairy for maybe a minute or so. The Yan Xiaonan fight, I think that one knocked her back a little bit because had Mackenzie Dern beat Marina Rodriguez, knowing the UFC, she probably would have jumped over Carla Esparza and gotten the title shot over Esparza. And I think that was the whole thing where it's just like, all right, well, I guess we have to give Carla the title fight. And then she gets Yan Xiaonan, and I figure if you go out there and you do a 30-27 job on Yan, you're kind of there. And then, of course, Zhang Weili does spinning back elbows to Joanna Jędrzejczyk and retires her, and that kind of knocks her out of the equation too. But she's just been – I like the Bilal Muhammad comparison. I think that makes a lot of sense. That's kind of the perfect setup. And she's just been, you know, just a fighter who's just had unfortunate bad timing. And hopefully with her fight – being a main event a week before a title fight could be good. She wants to sit cage side for the belt. Hopefully she doesn't get the Josh Emmett treatment and we'll be good to go. So before we move on, we're bouncing around a little bit. We mentioned Shanna Young making weight. We asked, I think before we even got on air, should she cut her hair? She did cut her hair. Casey, pull up the image courtesy of John Morgan. Check this out. This is gnarly. Look at how much hair. That, I mean, that's a chunk.
Yeah, that is. I had asked producer Casey if he thought she could lose the quarter pound. I don't think he knew how much hair Shanna Young had. She had quite a bit. I don't know. She might be bald now. I don't know.
I would like to add that I didn't take into account that usually when they cut weight, the hair is a little wet. So so the hair itself plus the moisture of the sweat and everything. Yeah, I could see. How much was it? Half a pound?
That's a quarter. That looks like a quarter, yeah.
Okay, so that was a quarter pound? Yeah, okay, that makes about sense. All right, with the moisture, yeah, there you go.
Wow.
And, of course, she is fighting Miranda Maverick, and she is the biggest underdog on the card by a wide margin at plus 510. So, maybe the hair will kick her over the edge and get some underdog bets going in on.
You haven't seen bald Shanna Young yet. All right, we've all seen Shanna Young fight before. You've never seen bald Shanna Young. I'm just saying.
Mythical fighter. It's coming.
That's a new. If she beats Miranda Maverick, that's a new mythical fighter right there.
Well, there you go. That'll be the title of our post fight show if that happens. Shanna Young, is she the new mythical fighter? So currently, according to the betting lines right now for this main event, Marina Rodriguez a minus 225 favorite. The comeback on Amanda Lemos is plus 190. Shaheen, we talked about the stakes. We talked about the matchup, the importance, especially for Marina Rodriguez. Does she get this done? Does Marina get it done? Does she at least make her case stronger for a title fight? Or does Amanda Lemos just say, not happening on my watch?
Man, this I've gone back and forth on this one this whole entire week because it does feel like this is a fight Marina should win, right? And from everything we've seen from Marina, it feels like she is sort of belongs in this tier, like I was just talking about with the top four women. in this division. She sort of has earned her right to be there, and I would say that she would be my betting favorite. If I had to pick it 10 times, I would pick her. But there's just something about Amanda Lemos in the run she's on, man. She's running through some of these girls, and like the way, the aggressiveness that she approaches these fights, and just again the improvement that we've seen over her UFC run. Like, this is someone who's been in the UFC since 2017, but it hasn't really been until like last year when she started opening some eyes and people started paying attention. I feel like the Jessica Andrade fight threw a lot of people off the scent with her because of how dominant it was, because Jessica basically just big sistered her and really got that crazy standing arm triangle choke. So I don't know, like the big part of me is leaning towards Lemos to be able to go out there, create chaos, do something crazy, and really kind of fluster this woman who has seemed so unflusterable during this run in Marina. That being said, Marina just feels like the much better technical fighter, and ultimately I think this will be a decision for Marina. I think it might get hairy in a few different situations, it might get a little crazy, but I think this will end up being one of the more impressive victories that she has, and maybe not the statement that she hopes for to be able to push her into that echelon, but it'll certainly, I think, continue her streak. I'm picking Marina by decision.
AK, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm on the same page there. Marina by decision. I don't know, I don't know if I'm as convinced that Lemos can make it to that top four, top five. Very exciting fighter. Yeah, the run she's on is great, but I do think she has been, I hate to use the word exposed, not exposed, but I think we've seen kind of where the limit of where she is for now in the Angela Hill fight as well, not just the Jessica Andrade fight, because you're right, there's no shame in getting trucked by Jessica Andrade. She's, you know, maybe the greatest finisher in women's MMA history. You put up there Chris Cyborg, Ronda Rousey, she's just insanely devastating. So that wasn't that bad. The Angela Hill fight, split decision. Some people called it a robbery. I was fine with it, but I totally see a Hill scorecard. I think there's some like defensive deficiencies, some experience deficiencies that were here's that word again, exposed, that you know that were brought to light, right? You know, that we learned about. And the Michelle Waterson win was a great bounce back, but I do think she caught Waterson kind of on the way down. You know, a very skilled fighter, but someone who's been in the game for a long time. And I think it's fair to say Michelle Waterson Gomez, or say, excuse me, you know, maybe 80% of what she was in her prime. So I don't want to nitpick. It's not fair, I know, to nitpick Lemos' resume. She's had a lot of success. She's had a lot of W's. I just don't think she is on that level with Rodriguez and the three women who have been, you know, strawweight champion. So I'm definitely leaning towards a Rodriguez decision. How convincing will it be? Like, convincing enough to, you know, really get some serious battle talks going around her? I'm not sure. And I have a poll. I did put up a poll, guys. Does Marina Rodriguez guarantee herself a title shot with an impressive win on Saturday? So far, yes, 57%. So there's some optimism for her.
Oh man, this is, I don't know like how valuable my picks are on this show, because last week's card, I think Casey pulled up the stat on our Slack channel. Of all the people who picked every fight on the card, I think I was the worst in the world at actually picking all the fights of UFC Vegas 63. I was horrendous, and I think I was literally the worst picker of all of Tapology. Really, really bad. And it is.
That's something to There's be no proud to of, Mike. That's it. That's an accomplishment.
There's nowhere to go but up now. I mean, it can't get any worse. You can't do it in back-to-back weeks. I'm going Marina Rodriguez as well. I actually think I'm going to say she's going to get her out of there. It's going to be late, fourth or fifth round. But I'm going to say Marina Rodriguez, fourth round TKO, because I think she'll wear on Amanda. I think Amanda's best chance to win is to get her out of there in the first two. But Marina's been in these five round fights before. She's done well. She knows how to conserve her energy. She gets stronger as these fights go. And I think she's going to get her out of there. We've seen Lemos get cracked a few times, and I think Marina will get to her eventually. I think it might be, you know, 2-1 Rodriguez heading into round four. I think Lemos might even win the first round, but she's going to start to get tired. And then I think Rodriguez is going to turn it on. She's going to crack her with one. It's going to go down, and then she's going to just pound her out and get a stoppage win in the fourth round. So definitely don't take that to the bank if you're going to follow what I did last week. But I am going Marina Rodriguez to get it done. But this co-main event. Oh, go ahead.
Real quick before we move on, just yes or no, is Marina Rodriguez's next fight after this for a title?
I'm predicting the future. I will say no.
What do you think, AK?
No.
I think I agree. She's on that Bilal Muhammad just spin cycle, man. You just got to keep doing it over and over.
I just don't think Carla's going to beat Zhang Weili, and I think she needs that to happen to get her there. I don't know if, like, if Zhang wins the belt, I don't think she gets it no matter what. But if Carla wins, there's a chance. There's a chance. No matter what the fight looks like, if Carla beats Rose Namajunas and Zhang Weili back to back and she wants to fight Marina Rodriguez, the UFC, even at that point, is going to have to be like, I mean, what else can we do? I mean,
they might try to slide in Jessica. They might like try to figure out a way to get Jessica in there, you know?
They could. They could definitely do that.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Co-main event, Shaheen. This is a good one. Neil Magny taking on D-Rod, Daniel Rodriguez. He is back. Said he's going to take some time off, but in typical D-Rod fashion, he was booked in a fight like 9 days after the Li Jingliang fight, which wasn't even his original opponent, changed 24 hours before the fight. He gets a, you know, kind of a contentious decision win not a lot of people agreed with, but D-Rod moves on. Now he's got a tough fight against Neil Magny. This is a good one, Shaheen. This is a solid co-main event.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is the fight I'm looking forward to most on the entire card, if I'm being real. Like, first of all, it's good to get Daniel Rodriguez back, right? Like, we didn't have Daniel Rodriguez for so long, and I think it made us forget how cool it is just to have this guy around. He's such a character. It's definitely himself. Like, he very much approaches the game in his own way. And it's almost like a little Diaz-esque in the way that he approaches it. Like, I really dig his whole vibe and what he's about, but also he's just a damn good fighter in this division. And he's not getting any younger. Like, I think he's in like his mid 30s. Right. And so it's like his window to do this is now. And so for him to sit on the sidelines for as long as he did was really unfortunate. So I'm glad that he's getting back to it so quickly, but also it's just like, how much of a G is Neil Magny, man. Like, we are not going to give this guy the respect. Like, he is not going to get the respect that he deserves once he is done in MMA. Because if you, he's one of those guys like a Donald Cerrone, where just like, no matter what's going on, you throw him anybody, he's just going to say yes. He was the one guy saying yes to Khamzat Chimaev when no one else would. He was the one guy calling out Khamzat. He's fighting Shavkat Rakhmonov. Now he's fighting Daniel Rodriguez. Like, he is just the guy who is going to take these fights that no one else in this division will take. The high risk, low reward fights. Give him to Neil Magny. He'll take it. I absolutely love it. I think this is perfect matchmaking. And again, it's just cool to get D-Rod back. Like, this is someone who I'm still very high on in this division, and he's got a little window here to do something with it. I think he can.
What do you think of this matchup, AK? This is a good one. I'm really looking forward to this one.
I love it. This is a real co-main event, Mike. This is certified co-main. It has two guys who are very close. I think they're not currently ranked in our global rankings. Both have been ranked before, have been top 15. I'm pretty sure. I think they're both Favs. I think they're both fighters also receiving votes. Magny is, again, one of the longest tenured welterweights. He is one win away now from breaking his tie with the great George St. Pierre for the most wins in UFC welterweight history, which just sounds bizarre.
That's so crazy, man.
For a guy who has never fought for the title, has never even, I think, really been in a number one contender's bout, but he just had a lot of sustained success. And he's busy. I think, I believe he's the only UFC fighter ever to record five fights in a calendar year twice. I think he's the only guy to ever do that. So he stayed busy. Stayed busy. Like I said, took fights with people that people didn't want to fight, won some of them, lost some of them. That's how it goes. Does he tie? No, he'll still be one behind Matt Brown. I think he's his 28th UFC welterweight appearance. So he's one behind Matt Brown at 29. So yeah, this is definitely a main event. Dan Rodriguez, I feel like with the right amount of, like, well, both guys, I feel like can make that push towards a title shot. Magny, I still believe someday it could happen. Rodriguez is on his way. He's got that one disputed loss to Nicholas Dalby. And then now a sort of disputed win over Li Jingliang. As Shaheen mentioned, he's not a super young guy. He actually turns 36 by the end of the year, on December, on New Year's Eve. He turns 36 years old. So, and he's got a lot of mileage. It's not like he's a late bloomer. He's actually been around. He's fought a lot in the last six, seven years. So if the time is now, he's got to take fights. Quick turnaround's not going to hurt him. That fight with Li Jingliang was a tough fight, but not one where I think he took a super amount of damage. I'm glad he's in there. He's getting, again, like I said, one of the most respected welterweights. He'll probably get a number next to his name if he beats Neil Magny. So yeah, I like this matchup so much. I'm glad it's the co-main on a fight like this. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be like a banger, like fight of the night type fight, but it's going to be an enjoyable fight between two guys who just are super professional, super tough, and they know what they're doing in there. I know that sounds like a faint praise, but considering how watered down some of these cards are, and I guess we might get to some of that with some of the rest of this lineup, which isn't that bad, maybe some other cards. I think it says a lot. I think it says a lot when you can say that the guys in the co-main know what they're doing and know how to put on a show for the fans.
Interesting stat. All four fighters in the main and co-main, all are 35. All four of them, 35 years of age.
Whoa.
So there's a nice little stat for you.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, true story. Rodriguez, Lemos, Magny, D-Rod, all 35.
There you go. Life starts at 30. That's what I tell people. Life starts at 30.
I like that. I like that quite a bit. Just to expound upon Neil just for a second, because I love these guys who just are, you know, the woodwork figures who are going to be in this, who like are going to hold these type of records in ways that we like wouldn't expect. And 10 years down the line, like somebody's going to be asking a trivia question of who has the most wins in welterweight title history, or not title history, but welterweight history. And like, no one's going to get it. No one's going to remember that it was Neil Magny, but we should remember that it was Neil Magny, right? Because like AK, you said he's never even been in a number one contender fight. I don't even think he's ever been in like a number three contender fight. Like, I don't even think that he's like gotten to that level to be able to be in that type of fight. Like it's just crazy the sustained success that he has been able to have while never getting the rub, while never getting the push, while never getting the love. And yet he's still going to be out there fighting whoever they want to throw him every single time out. I remember back in the day, I think it was Benson Henderson who told me it was Jim Miller who told me that like the most impressive stat of all outside of just like title reigns is just longevity. Like if you can just stay in the UFC for a very, very long time, that in and of itself is like one of the most difficult skills in this entire game. And Neil Magny is just out here just beaten George St. Pierre on all-time record lists without ever getting any kind of shine or credit for it at all. And again, 10, 15 years from now, how many Neil Magny conversations are you going to be having? So I don't know. Give that guy his flowers while he's still here, because that's incredible. It's incredible that he's been able to do this, and the fact that he's still doing it and he's still taking the fights that no one wants. Like, all the props to that man.
Will he get more flowers tomorrow, Shaheen? Will he defeat Daniel Rodriguez? Let me pull up the odds real quick. Neil Magny, the slight favorite, minus 125. The comeback on D-Rod, plus 105. What do you think?
Man, I mean, I think no. I think this probably goes to Daniel Rodriguez. Again, I'm high on him. I've been high on him a long time. I think this is sort of the run for Daniel Rodriguez. Like AK said, he's 35. Like, or you said, Mike, like he's 35. Like, this has got to happen now or never. But then again, I have picked against Neil Magny in this exact spot so many different times of like, hey, this other guy is on the come up and Neil Magny is like just in his way. And then Neil always just proves me wrong. So like, I might just have a complete blind spot for picking Neil Magny fights. That could be very true. But I think this is a D-Rod. I think this is going to be a decision type of fight, a very technical fight. Again, maybe not the most entertaining fight ultimately, but one that will be full of you know, momentum changes and things like that. So I could see Daniel Rodriguez taking a decision. But if Neil Magny wins this, it's just, I mean, that's just my luck. That's how I roll with Neil Magny fights. I have no read on this guy.
AK, do you agree with Shaheen?
I agree that I am terrible at picking Neil Magny fights. Yes. So I'm going the other way this time. I am going to go with Neil Magny, because the one true Neil, because my first instinct was to go with Daniel Rodriguez. I'm a D-Rod fan. Like I said, it's kind of, I think in my mind, I'm like, yes, I want to see him continue this run towards a title. But these things don't always go so neatly, especially when you throw a wrench like Neil Magny into the plans. And I think there's going to be some mixing of the martial arts in this fight. I think Neil Magny's just a little bit better at it. I might give Daniel Rodriguez the edge in like more a pure, you know, striking matchup. But I think Neil's going to mix it up. I don't know if the quick turnaround is going to have an effect in Daniel Rodriguez, but I think it's more so just, man, the overwhelming high level experience of Magny. I think he's going to be able to turn it on. Like, he might get off to a little bit of a slow start and just turn it on halfway through the fight and really give us a super competitive, like, enjoyable fight. And I am going to go with Magny by decision. I don't think he can put away D-Rod. D-Rod's super tough, but I think it is going to be a decision, hopefully not a controversial one, because there's been a lot of robbery talk lately. And it's really starting to chip away at my brain. So I would hate to have my birthday weekend spoiled by more people crying robbery over nonsense.
Wow. Okay. I like where your head's at. Okay. I'm going with D-Rod. I mean, plus I'm looking at it from a betting perspective, plus money on D-Rod makes a lot of sense. I think he's the better striker. Obviously Magny has length, but I don't know. Magny can make this ugly. I don't know if he's going to get a bunch of takedowns on D-Rod, because D-Rod has pretty good takedown defense, but it's that work against the fence. Can Magny get him against the fence and just kind of keep him there and just annoy the hell out of him with knees to the legs and to the body and just kind of keep him tied up there? And if he can, that's his best path to victory. But if he gets into a boxing match with Daniel Rodriguez, despite having the reach advantage and the height advantage, I think D-Rod wins that all day. So AK, I don't know if we're going to get a splitty and something that's going to be necessity, like a necessary robbery review type of thing, but this is gonna be a very close decision, but I'm gonna give it to Daniel Rodriguez, because I just think he's gonna land more punches, and I think that's gonna be the difference maker in this fight. So we'll see what happens. Before we go to the peeps,
can I Shaheen, what's
yeah, sure.
I mean, what else we could talk about, right? What Neil Magny, I think you said, AK, too, like, I feel like there's just weird fighters in this game that we, like, some of us just have blind spots to, like our own personal blind spot. Neil Magny's always been one for me. Charles Oliveira was definitely one for me. Like, I think I picked like four Charles fights wrong. Mike, what's like one of your blind spot fighters? Like, what's one of that, no matter what's going on, you're just going to get it wrong?
It's probably Calvin Kattar. I like get all of his fights wrong. Now he's in my head, because I picked Giga Chikadze against him and he knew about it. So when I interviewed him a couple days later, he made sure to remind me that I didn't pick him to beat Giga Chikadze. And he went out there and beat him. And then I picked Kattar ever since, and he's lost both those fights. So I would say he's probably the guy at this point, but I've had runs with Charles. I've had runs of Neil Magny as well, but Cater's probably at the top of my list.
Yeah, I think Justin Gaethje is also on my list. Like, I think I've picked so many different Justin Gaethje fights wrong at this point, too. AK, do you have any others that stand out?
I had a really bad run with Brock there. Brock Lesnar. I could not get his fights right. I don't know why. I think I kept picking. Yeah, I definitely picked Shane Carwin to beat him. And I know I picked Brock to beat Kane, and I know I picked Brock to beat Alistair. I don't know about before. I'm pretty sure I picked Brock to win. To lose the Frank Mir rematch as well. I thought Frank Mir was going to beat him again. And before that, I don't remember if I was making any like solid predictions. But there was a run where I don't know why I could not figure out what was going on with Brock Lesnar and just kept missing.
Dude, I also picked Brock against Kane, and not only did I pick him, I was so utterly confident that like, oh, Brock's going to truck through this guy. And I was still a fan at that point. I think I was like I wasn't working in MMA at any point. And I told like all of my friends, we went to like a B-dubs or something like that. And I was like, oh, you got to put all your money on Brock Lesnar. Look at him. He's so big. He's going to crush Cain Velasquez. This is a mismatch. And never have I been more wrong, like more quickly. Like it was just obvious in the first 30 seconds of that fight. I'm like, oh, I don't actually know what the hell I'm talking about. I think that and also me picking Paige VanZant to beat Rose Namajunas are probably like the two worst picks of my life.
Yeah, I think I picked Paige in that fight too. Yeah, there's a lot.
We're just talking worst picks. I have like 20. There's just that we could be here all day.
Paige was in a moment. Paige had a moment for a second. It looks like the worst pick in the history of picking fights in retrospect.
Yep, and then Rose went on to win the belt two different times. So good for her. Any other fight, Sean, that stands out here? Is there one other, like if you can only choose one other fight to watch, like if you were like, Sean, you can only watch three fights on this card. It's probably the main, the co-main. What's the third one?
I mean, to me, it's Grant Dawson and Marco Madsen, right? I think this is two guys who are sort of in the same exact place, sort of in this lightweight division where they're on the outside looking in the top 15. Actually, I think Grant Dawson might be our number 15 fighter on the only rankings that matter. Yes, I believe he's tied with Satoshi, who I think a lot of American audiences are about to get their first experience of Satoshi, which should be really fun. But yeah, Grant Dawson's one of these guys who's sort of flown under the radar a little bit at 155. He doesn't do a lot of interviews to make noise. Like he's not cutting promos. He's not getting these flashy, spectacular highlights, but he is winning. And you cannot deny him that. And anybody who can win at that level at the lightweight division catches my eye, certainly, because that is the division of parity, if nothing else. So Grant Dawson, I mean, Marco Madsen, he's kind of in the same spot. He's a little bit older, but he does have the Olympic pedigree. He's one of those guys who it felt like when he came into the UFC could have a moment here. And if it's going to happen, it's got to happen now. So I like that fight. I like the stakes for that fight. And ultimately, it sucks that Grant Dawson missed weight. I know that was a problem for him at 45, too. Hopefully, he can get that under control. But I'm interested and excited to see who wins that one. Because I feel like whoever wins that one is sort of at that point on that borderline of number 15, 16 in this lightweight division and ready to make some moves.
AK, is that the one for you as well?
I mean, now I'm intrigued by Miranda Maverick versus Bald Shanna Young. I don't know. I want to see this unleash the beast in her. Miranda Maverick, it's funny. She's kind of fallen a little bit behind the pack, the flyweight prospect pack, because she's fought Macy Barber. She lost, quote unquote, lost. That is a rare fight that I actually did consider to be a robbery. I think a lot of people who saw that fight would agree. It wasn't like she super dominated Macy Barber, but it was just a weird fight where Barber did like essentially nothing. But either way, she does have an official loss in her record to Macy Barber, then a much more definitive loss to Erin Blanchfield. So she's kind of like no longer in that conversation of along with like, you know, Casey O'Neill and a little bit older, but you know, Manel Fiorot. But she can easily get back on that track. She's an interesting character. Like she's also like, she's studying, she's in school studying. I want to see if she can run through a Shanna Young, a fighter who I think is tough. And again, now and a tough and now bald. I'll be very impressed. So I am intrigued. I'm intrigued by the outcome. I don't know how like exciting the fight will necessarily be, but I'm very intrigued with this outcome now, because I've certainly, with a lot of these younger fighters, Miranda Maverick, Erin Blanchfield, and all of them, have told people like sort of like pump their brakes on, you know, projecting people as future champions, what have you. But she's 25 now. She's going to be entering her physical prime. Maybe this is the run now. We'll see how she performs on Saturday. maybe this is the start of the Miranda Maverick run in earnest, and we see her become a contender, you know, by the end of 2023, early 2024. But it could start on Saturday, so we might look back on this fight as being super important someday.
Yeah, I mean, she's already got a first round submission win over Shannon Young, so they have a history. This is a rematch, chance for Shannon to get one back, but she didn't fight bald Shannon Young, so this is a whole different opponent in a lot of people's eyes, experience, less hair. I want to give some shine to Nate Maness for a moment, if I could, because this frigging guy comes into the UFC, beats Johnny Munoz, beats Luke Sanders as an underdog, finishes him, is a pretty sizable dog against Tony Gravely, finishes him in the second round, and the UFC rewards him, and they hit up his manager, and they get him on the phone. They're like, Nate, we have an opportunity for you. We're going to have you fight Umar Nurmagomedov. What do you think? And he's like, all right, I'll fight this guy. And then he just gets ragdolled by Umar Nurmagomedov for 15 minutes. It was a rough night. I actually felt bad for Nate Maness. Plus 650 dog, looked every bit as that. Good fighter, but just got ragdolled. And he's like, you know what? I think I need to make some changes in my life. I think I'm going to move down to 125. The UFC's like, yeah, you should do that. Do we have the opponent for you? You know how you fought Umar Nurmagomedov, one of those guys? We're going to throw you in there with Tagir Ulanbekov for your next fight, which is basically the exact same team, the exact same style. And we're just going to have you fight this guy for your flyweight debut. Nate Maness, you are a G, and I give you all the credit in the world. And this is another tough fight for him. Let me see where he's at. He's not a plus 650. He's a plus 185. But, man, I give props to Nate Maness. This man does not take easy fights at all. His last four fights have been insanely difficult, and these two most recent fights are nuts. So good for him, and we'll see what happens. So I will go with Ulanbekov versus Nate Maness just because I want to give Nate Maness a little shine for taking these really ridiculously tough fights. And learn from Tim Elliott. Nate Maness, grab the glove, grab the cage, grab it all. Because they ain't going to call you, and you might just get yourself a win.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right. All right, let's go to the peeps. Let's go to the peeps, take a few questions from the peeps. We get some early day MMA tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern prelim, 7 p.m. Eastern main card. So that's good. And hopefully we get a lot of hype for UFC 281. Casey is here. Hello, Casey.
Hi.
Looking good.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Can we get the mustache extra bushy for Movember?
Extra bushy? Okay.
Extra bushy.
I give it a perm. I fluff it.
Yeah, like fluff it out a little bit. Okay, you know? Yeah. Maybe some press perm, some sparkles. You know.
I don't do that. I'm straightforward.
Casey, I just tried.
Every day is Movember for me. Every day. Casey,
I just activated Q&A on YouTube, and I don't know if I broke the chat and made your job exponentially harder to find questions now. So I don't know.
Yeah, you did. Thanks.
There's a thing at the top. You can toggle back to live chat. But I was like, okay, this button. I don't know. I thought this button.
There's a Q&A.
There's a Q&A button. I just pressed it, and it just now made all the.
Can you unpress it?
I can unpress it. Yes.
Just do your polls. Just stick to your.
I know. I'm being the poll guy. I don't want to be the poll guy.
It's his birthday.
He
wanted to spread his wings a little.
This is not the song you requested, Casey.
No, I was going to ask, but I think I was going to ask him to queue up Eddie Murphy, but I think that would get us demonetized, right? So I guess we can't really do that.
No, yeah, you can't do that.
I think even by singing it, I might have screwed us over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. No. It was a parody. It's okay because you added Alex to it.
I did. Clearly a parody and probably off key, so not even close.
Casey, who's your blind spot fighter?
Oh, Jan Blachowicz. I finally got it right with Yuri, but even that was super close. But I was Glover. Sorry, he lost to Glover. I finally got it right with Glover, but I missed him like I think six straight fights. I just had everything going against Jan.
Wait, and, you picked Glover in that fight?
Yes, I did pick Glover in the fight. Yeah,
kudos.
I refused to pick against Jan Blachowicz. Just refused to. But yeah, he was my giant blind spot. Who else? Mostly him. Yeah, he's the one that really stuck out to me.
There's always one. There's always at least one.
Yeah. All right. We didn't get this answer, though. It's oops.
Yes, I figured someone was going to ask. AK, your birthday gymnastics scale. Maybe you give it a couple extra decibel points.
Yeah, it has to be above last week's card, because last week's card, I said, came down to like a 7.5, like 7.8. So I think it has to be better than that. Let's go 7.9. No explanation. No explanation.
it's 0.1 better than last week.
It's potentially 0.1 better than last week. You know, so the number speaks for itself.
If this had the original main event, what would you give it then?
Case, I don't know why you're asking. You know how the math works. It's an obvious 8.45.
8.45, all right.
Yeah, you know that. I don't even know why I had to explain this to you. You know how to do the math.
All right. Do you.
My dog loves AK's voice. It's hilarious.
He always says this. AK, thank you.
Just making dreams come true.
I know. Well, you know, I'm glad there's one dog I get along with, so there we go.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that you're...
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Oh, my God.
That was the dogs.
I always forget your anti-dog crusade. That's the weirdest...
They're anti-me.
That is the strangest AK take of all.
They're anti-me. I have nothing... The dogs don't like me.
It feels one-sided on AK's side.
You haven't seen dogs react to me. It's not good.
I'll get Brian to fly me out to Toronto. We'll do a video of you just approaching dogs, and we'll see if this is true.
Yeah. That's good content.
That is great content, and I rubber stamp that. Let's do that right now. Let's book the flight.
I think we know. Let me see.
Guess
talk about this.
Did fighters just not care, or was there a scale issue? I don't remember five fighters missing weight for it. Trust me when I tell you, it wasn't a scale issue. It's just one of those cards.
Oh, listen,
it's a card so bad that even the fighters didn't care.
Oh, we were all thinking it.
It was low hanging fruit.
Listen, there's can I make some excuses for some of these people?
Please.
Am I allowed to make excuses? And this has come from someone who I am very frustrated when I see people, you know, insulting the sanctity of weigh-ins by coming in heavy. But I will sprinkle in some excuses. Grant Dawson. Late notice, less than three weeks. And by the way, the disclaimer for all these obviously is you signed the contract, you should make weight, whatever. That's fine. It's on the fighters. But Grant Dawson is taking on short notice. He missed by 1.5. That's fine. It's a little annoying because he did miss at featherweight too, which makes you, you know, raise some questions, I guess. Is it more than just a weight issue? Is there, you know, a discipline issue? I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. But when someone misses weight in two weight classes, Charles Oliveira did it as well. Oh, no, he didn't miss at lightweight. Excuse me. Charles will never miss a featherweight, not a lightweight. Oh, well.
He missed championship weight.
I guess there was a recent situation, I guess, where he quote unquote missed weight. That's fine. I mean, you know.
He should have pulled the Shanna Young and shaved his hair.
He should have shaved everything. Charles Oliveira, so has missed a weight too, because it happens. who's that? Shanna Young made it, so she's off the list. Doesn't even matter. Who are the other? Oh, Benito Lopez. That's what I want to talk about. Benito Lopez, his first fight in like 3 years. You know,
three and a half, and again, almost.
Three and a half. He's been off. He has a real job. He's in real estate. He has a real job, which probably pays him 20 times what he's making in the UFC. If we're being honest, let's be serious here. And listen, he looks like he's been living the life in between. Like he's been living a normal, healthy, non-weight cutting life in during all this time. So good for him. It is a shame that he came in 2.5 pounds over, but I can understand why. A long layoff. Ramona Pascual, her first fight at 135 pounds in the UFC. Carlos Candelario, I don't know. But Carlos, if you're out there and you want to send out a tweet that says, you know, what went wrong, I will gladly retweet it. So I'm kind of making an excuse for all these people. It is my birthday. I'm in kind of a, you know.
It's your birthday?
It's your birthday?
No.
This is like the 2022 version of Pee Wee's Playhouse. Every time you say birthday, it's the magic word. We get a song.
To answer the question, I don't think it's that people didn't care. I think, you know, whatever this. Yeah. But yeah, slap on the wrist to all these fighters.
Weigh-ins are your domain. Like weigh-ins, mm-hmm. I've never seen anybody like enjoy something more than AK Lee enjoys weigh-ins. Yeah. What is your natural like reaction inside when you see all these weight misses? Are you excited? Are you upset? Are you like what rages boils inside of AK in these moments?
I used to be angry.
Happens over and over again.
I used to be angry. Do you remember when Cage Warriors had like a bunch of events where they just could not get like people to get on weight? It was crazy. I don't think it happens anymore. So I'm not sure what they were doing wrong before. There was a stretch in a few years ago where Cage Warriors had this epidemic of people just missing weight, and just reading the results, I was angry. But over the years, I've softened my stance. I like I said, things happen. There's you know, you never want to assume it's a discipline thing. It's a dietary thing. Things happen in people's lives. Like again, if any of the Brazilian fighters had missed weight, we would have said, well, there's the travel issues. We would have understood. And the fact that they didn't, I get it, makes it worse now for the people who did miss weight. But no, my first reaction now is sympathy. Maybe further down the road, if it just seems like negligence or if repeat offenders, I will say like someone like an Aspen Ladd, for example, I've definitely been frustrated with and less than understanding. But otherwise, if it's happened once or twice, if it seems like there's a decent explanation for it, you know, the person gets 20% of their money taken away. That's a lot. We move on.
The Prince of Positivity is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm back.
Crown him. Crown that man. Anything else? AK's anti-dog. I take back my happy birthday.
He's anti-dog.
I'm not. They're anti-me. They're anti-me.
Dogs are anti-AK. The entire species
specifically
is
anti-AK. Yeah, everyone is. Every
you
single
need much
dog.
Better dogs in your life.
Yeah. All right. We go. Is there no positivity?
There you go.
I wish that were true.
All right. I talked to AK Mr. Day. Trudeau.
Can Marina earn a title shot with a great promo if she has a minute on the mic? I mean, what is she going to say?
Does one of you guys want to do your best Marina Rodriguez impression here and try and say what could she do? I don't know. Well, impromptu between the length question. You are Marina Rodriguez. You have 60 seconds to cut a promo and earn yourself a title shot.
What do you say? Just if they don't give me a title shot, I'll fight 10 more women.
Oh no!
Have we heard that one? Oh no!
I don't even want a title shot. I want to fight 15 more times before I get it. I'm gonna prove it.
It's not. It's not my fault. It's the MMA media's fault for not promoting me the way they should. Ooh, that's why I'm not getting a title shot.
Wow.
That's the direction.
Hey, by the way, it's 57 days away from that Bellator versus Rising card. Just
throw that out there.
Thanks for doing your job.
Thanks for doing your job.
I mean, I'm an MF-er who needs to do my effing job. So that's what I'm doing right now. There you go. 57 days. Get ready. For that card. Do we have anything else?
Not really.
I think we did a good job ad-libbing that. Okay. So Casey and I will be back tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern. We'll get you ready for this card. Yeah, that's happening. It will be the day after AK's birthday. So we'll see if his stance on weight misses has changed. And we're going to be there with you pretty much all day tomorrow with all the results, highlights, and everything you need for UFC Vegas 64. As we're on the road to UFC 281, and that is a pretty damn good card. So until tomorrow, everybody, for AK, Shaheen, Casey, I am Mike Heck. Thanks for watching. Good night, everybody. Happy birthday, AK.
AK Lee, anti-birthday song, anti-dog, anti-weightness. Love you guys.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.